I loved power club.
Come with me if you want to live.
I love power club.
No time for time travel.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the No Time for Time Travel podcast. It's been a while since we recorded. This morning I just off the cuff asked Kwok, hey, you want to record? And he said, sure. So yeah. And then I asked some topic suggestions, and the community over at the Super Best Friend Video Game Sleepover Discord suggested that we talk about the Helldivers 2 and PlayStation Network stuff. So yeah, I mean, before we get into that, how you been doing?
Good. I've been playing pickleball a lot more. I've been chilling a lot more, reading more comic stuff and whatnot. Aside from that, nothing else. What about you, Tony?
Oh, you say you watch comics? Sorry, read comics?
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of like manga and like manhwa, like the Korean webtoon stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've been fine. I haven't really played much new games. Mostly done some music stuff. What else have I been doing?
We had the AI stuff, right?
Yeah, AI I'm using albums. Some. Yeah, doing a mix of like AI assistance plus like original composition stuff to kind of mess around with the tools and kind of see like what is developing nowadays. You know, what's really interesting about AI for music is that it's kind of like AI for art, right? Where like it helps you get started, but then it's nowhere close enough to being good for, you know, replacement at all, you know, but it's good for like a starting point. So you still have to like do a lot of your own work on it. And it's, yeah, it's interesting though, because it's kind of like you're like a movie producer, right? So you have these tools at your disposal, but you are still producing the movie, right? I don't know. It's more like you have the knowledge base and skills to do it. Now you have tools that help you, but they don't replace you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. But sadly, normally the executive stuff, they don't see that.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an issue, because it's not that. It's more like as AI advances, right? And then at what point will there be some kind of discussion about replacing the people who do it completely? Because there's already like, you know, from my professional side, I'm a pharmacist. There's already like discussion about like, when does it replace the healthcare person? Like, can AI replace it?
Yeah.
It's not there, but when will it be there? If it's going to be there. I mean, from our standpoint, we're like, AI is a tool, and we just need to be there to make sure that it stays a tool, and then how it can augment our own practice rather than replace complete.
Because AI is still learning, and then you still need a correction and everything.
Yeah, the thing about AI too is like, and we're not an AI podcast, we're just talking about opinions now, but
yeah.
The thing about AI is that it learns from data sets, but then if your data sets are like crappy, then you're gonna have a crappy AI. So I think like AI has its place if you know when and where to use it and know its like proper limitations. So
it's, I think like in like the art industry, like it's definitely a great learning tool for like artists as well. Like it'll speed up like the process that normally takes a while, like in the pre-production process a lot more. But I think like with probably same with music too, Tony, like you were experimenting with just like getting like something on written down or something just produced to just see where it goes a lot faster. And you're like, okay, cool. Now you have a good, somewhat of a guideline. And then you would just start, just polishing from there and just think, okay, change this, change that. And then, make it a lot better afterwards. And like you said, it's based on like, based on kind of like the what they learn, right? The learned assets. So it's like, I see it kind of like, the intern in a way.
Yeah.
Where they can either learn from like a really crappy supervisor and they will not grow as, or they'll produce stuff that are not that great, or they could learn from really amazing people and then just get a lot better faster.
Yeah. And with the music side, right? Like let's think about when there was no AI and, you know, people producing music sometimes, there's a lot of loops involved, right? Like sometimes you get like a preset of like thousands and thousands of loops, and you kind of go through them, listen, and try to pick out ones that you like and you want to loop and you want to mix together to your music, you know? So it's kind of like that, except for now you don't have a preset thousands of loops to go through. You kind of like clearly define the style, and you still have to use AI to generate like a bunch of loops, right? And then you still decide. It's like, it's a very similar process to how production is already done, except now it's kind of like a little bit more targeted, but it's still the same process. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's not like it's completely replacing everything. It's just like a very targeted portion of the production process that it's assisting, at least for now, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember, there was like this one meme that I saw a while ago that I sent to a friend. This is like for like the graphic design thing, but similar. It could be applied to a lot of art related field. So like, to replace graphic designers with AI, clients will need to accurately describe what they want. So until then, we're safe.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I've worked with a few people who are very ambiguous, like, oh, make it look cool. And you're like, okay. And then you as the person delivering it, you more or less have a rough idea of what they want already. AI, if you do that to AI, it's like, make something cool. And you're like, okay, well, this is something. And then they have to keep on describing more and more and more and more. And it's definitely a lot more. Oh, definitely teach people to be more effective communicators.
You know what's interesting though? Like now there's positions called prompt engineers.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, really? You can get paid for just knowing how to talk to AI? Like that's, and you're an engineer, quote unquote?
Yeah.
What the heck? I mean, that goes to show the sad state of, you know, general humans of not being able to describe things, right?
Yep.
You have to be a professional at describing things.
Yeah.
So
communication, like clear communication, has become a profession.
Yeah. I mean, even in my day job where I'm in the pharmacy technology space, right? I get like, you know, issues that come to me. It's like, hey, I can't take this med out of the machine. And that's all I get. Mm. And I'm like, error message, which machine, which patient, where are you doing this? And what nursing unit? Like, dude.
That
kind of thing. AI is not going to replace. Right. So,
yeah, it's not going to, like you said, like with similar to like other field positions, like with art and everything, like the person will like start investigating and asking questions to get the more specific reading on what's the situation. AI is not going to do that. It's just going to give you answers. And then if it's not to your liking, then you have to learn how to ask better questions, that sort of thing, or describe better.
Yeah, or it'll give you bad information or bad answers because you didn't ask the question correctly, right?
Yeah.
So so I was doing that with music. What else is there? What else was I doing? We're moving our escape room, so that's
I was telling Steve about that. So busy this year or this month.
Yeah, actually, after this recording, I'm gonna head out and help Steve with like packing up the current location, because we're supposed to be moving this Thursday for a new location.
You have until the end of the month, right?
Yeah, but we have not really, because the movers we hired are for this Thursday.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah,
makes sense.
Just lots of stuff. A bunch of birthday parties and baby showers every weekend. I started my daughter on dance class and then have her in swim class. So that's been busy.
What kind of dance?
It's like at her age, at 3.5 years old, they're just doing combos. So it's like ballet and tap dancing.
Oh, cool. Tap dance sounds cool.
But it's not really. It's just like ballet is like, okay, wear your ballerina stuff and then run around and jump. There's no like, it's just play almost. And then tap dancing, here's your tap shoes. Okay, stomp the floor. You know, like it's not like proper technique, because at this age, they're just playing, you know?
She's like three and a half.
Okay. So it's just like more like teaching them how to be in a classroom setting.
Oh, okay. You
know,
gotcha.
Like teaching them how to like go with the group, you know, learn and, you know, follow directions, that kind of stuff. But yeah,
it's just really funny, because then when you describe the whole class, it's just like, oh, here's ballet, wear the shoes, run around and try to be quiet. Here's tap dance, run around with the loud shoes.
Yes. Yes.
Make as much noise as you need.
Yes. It's interesting. She just had her first lesson on Thursday. So yeah, I have to buy this stuff now. Oh, man, I bought her shoe size is like 8, right? I ordered an 8.5 and then they sent me 11. Like, what the hell? And then like her ballerina what's it called? Uniform thingy, dress. I ordered like a 4 toddler size because she's 3.5, right? Mm-hmm. And then they sent me like a small adult. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
So, same company?
No, different company. Oh. But it's all through Amazon and it's all like imported. So it's like, man, yeah.
Sweaty.
So I have to go return them, get a new one. Hopefully they don't send me the wrong ones again. So yeah. But yeah, that's it. I guess we can move on to any like news items. Actually, have you been watching any shows or anything?
Shows. No, I don't think. No, not at all. I haven't even watched like the latest Airbender either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What about you, Tony?
I'm following X-Men 97 and we're almost done with Fallout. So X-Men 97, I think I told you before, I highly, 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 highly recommend it.
Mm.
It's like at the point where like, okay, I'm good. I don't need live action. This is like the best X-Men thing ever.
Mm.
So yeah. It just sucks that you have to wait every week, but then the wait every week has been like making it that much better because they kind of end on cliffhangers a lot.
Is it done or is it still ongoing?
I think there's 2 more episodes.
Okay. I'll wait until they finish though.
Yeah. But when you wait till they finish and then you watch it in one go, it's not as impactful because the way that they do the some of the cliffhanger stuff is just like, oh my God, it's really well done. It's like watching like, I don't know, it's watching like, I don't know, Lord of the Rings or Game of Thrones or something. It's just like that type of like style.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It's so good. And then like the animation, at first I didn't like it when I saw the previews, but when I watched it, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
They captured the same feel, but then it's updated. And then I can't be very specific, but then there are sections in the show like particularly like violent or scary sections in the show that really feel like you're watching an anime. Like the art style just suddenly changes to be like very anime like very like you're watching like an adult like focused anime, which is weird to say about an X-Men kid show, you know, but if you watch the show, you're gonna be like first or two episodes in, maybe you're gonna be like, hold on, this is a kid show, you know?
It's
really crazy. It's really good. I really highly recommend it. And then Fallout. I know nothing about the Fallout game series. I've never played it. The only thing I know is just the logo of the guy, the Vault Boy. That's it. Yeah. I know nothing else. Coming in completely with zero knowledge about that. That show is amazing. It's like super well done about a post-apocalyptic type of world. They capture like the humor very well. It's like humor and it's dark and it's serious and it's violent, but it's funny. Like it's not supposed to be comedy, but it's funny enough, you know?
Yeah. It's on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah, it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Oh, something funny about that too. Because you know how Amazon Prime has ads now? When I was watching it, in the very beginning, the ad starts and they're like, thanks to Samsung, the following presentation will be presented to you ad-free. And then it pauses for a little bit and then it says, after the following message. And then it plays an ad. So, yeah. Yeah, it's ad-free, guys. After you watch this ad, it's ad-free. So, yeah. But yeah, I think those are the main two things I've watched. We watched House of Ninja a couple weeks ago. That was pretty good. That's on Netflix.
Okay, that was pretty good. Yeah, that's good to hear. I was thinking about starting it.
It's interesting. It's like produced by an American guy, I think. But then it's actually all a Japanese show. So, yeah, it's a Netflix original. It's really good. I really liked it. We watched it because we finished watching Warrior and was like, oh, come on, we need another show like this. And then House of Ninja was like, oh, so I think after Fallout, we're probably going to watch Shogun. So I heard Shogun was good. I don't know if you know about that one.
No, I haven't heard about that one at all.
Yeah, Shogun is, it stars Hiroki Sanada, the guy who played Scorpion in the Mortal Kombat movie, the newest one.
That's why you want to watch it.
I mean, I think that guy's pretty cool. Everything he's in, yeah. He's been good. It's funny because then we rewatched the Wolverine, the Japan one, Japanese base, the one with Hugh Jackman in Japan.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was like, there's a Japanese Wolverine?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is Japanese X-Men, right? So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, yeah.
But Hiroki Sanada was also in that one. I forgot he was in it.
Yeah, he was. I remember now.
Yeah. And then, like, I saw an ad for, like, the old Rush Hour, and I'm like, oh, yeah, he was in Rush Hour as well. Guys and everything.
Was he?
So he was in, I think, Rush Hour 3 as Jackie's, as Chan's brother or something like that. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a blood brother or like I would raise together, but I don't remember. But he was in it. Because I rewatched a fight scene. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's him. And I was like, yeah, he's just in everything. And you kind of just don't know. You know, the first time I recall seeing him and being thinking like, oh, this guy's cool, was actually in the show Lost. So he was in the show Lost as some mystical, like, Japanese monk-ish guy that runs, just really cool. So
mysterious monk guy wears a mask that is yellow.
No mask. But yes, martial arts.
Chain.
Yeah.
Chain involved.
The first Mortal Kombat movie, though, he was played by a Caucasian dude, and it wasn't a chain. It was like a weird creature that came out of his arm. Remember that?
Yeah, but no. Oh, yeah. It's like the alien creature.
Yeah.
Tentacle-ish thing version. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Oh, well, nobody knew back then because pixels can't see. This made assumptions for the movie.
It still worked.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to any news. I don't know. I haven't been keeping up with any news.
I don't think.
Oh, Deadpool and Wolverine. Did you see that trailer? It came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I did. It was interesting. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I mean, it's a Deadpool thing. It's going to be like funny, I guess. It's going to be funny.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw another clip. It's pretty funny. It was from this morning. You know, like in the trailer, I don't know if you noticed it, but there was a giant like Ant-Man head that opened up to reveal like a skull base. Remember that at all?
No,
I missed that. Well, they had an extended scene of that, and then like Deadpool and Wolverine were just standing there as the Ant-Man head opened up to reveal like someone used the skull of like Ant-Man, a dead Ant-Man, as their base of operation. So it revealed like it was like a base of like evil people, right?
Oh,
and then Deadpool was like, huh, Paul Rudd finally aged. That's so perfect.
Typical Deadpool.
Yes. But yep. Let's see. There's not much other stuff. James Gunn just revealed the new Superman reboot costume. I keep forgetting about that movie. Do you remember about that?
No, not at all. I don't hear about that.
Yeah, let me show you I'll send it to you right now. This was just actually 2 hours ago or something. Yeah, this is the new costume for the new Superman movie that is filmed. It looks weird. It looks too baggy. Does it look baggy to you? It's
yeah,
it's really baggy. Like armor is
there,
yeah. It's like all wrinkled. So interesting. Entirely. Let me see. He wrote that the photo was taken on set and was entirely in camera. Interesting. I'm just reading the comments right now, and people are like, "That's an effed up version of Superman. Thanks for nothing." Wow. Okay, let's see. All right. I don't have any other news. I guess we can move on to the main topic. All right. So, the main topic is about Helldivers 2 and about PlayStation Network being required a PSN account being required to link over to Helldivers 2. You know much about that, or have you been hearing from your friends?
I've heard partially about that, like how it's kind of like users who have it, who have Helldivers, are being forced to have a PSN account and link it to actually play the game. So it's like, if you don't have a PlayStation, you have to spend like $500 just to buy the console to get the account. And that's like the ultimate DLC. it's buying a console. It's not even buying like the software anymore. It's the whole hardware just to make that account.
Wait, I thought the PSN account, you can make it without having a system, can you?
I don't know. You might be right. I'm not too sure about that.
I just put, can you make and then autocomplete it, PSN account without a PlayStation?
The answer is,
you can sign up for a PSN account directly on PS5 and PS4. You can also go to Sony, create a PSN account to sign up for an account. It would make sense, though, because if you don't have a PlayStation at all, right, and you want to buy a PlayStation from Sony directly, you would need a PSN account, I thought, to make like a store account, right?
Yeah.
So it would make sense. You could still create a PSN account whenever. But but the other issue is, of course, 177 countries actually don't have access to create those accounts.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, they did reverse a decision, I think, yesterday, mm-hmm. as of this time of recording, that they heard everyone and they're like reversing the decision. But it was kind of like, why the hell was that the decision to begin with?
Yeah, that was like... what you call it? It's similar to
Unreal.
Well, I mean, similar to what you call it, the whole Sonic fiasco, you know?
Like, oh, the trailer. Yeah.
It's like people saw, like, heard about it. The internet went crazy, and then I think like you saw like the game went from overwhelmingly positive to like overwhelmingly negative.
Yeah.
Over the past week. As it speaks volumes of how much the community didn't like how it went, because like it was like a big thing. Like the Helldivers 2 became like almost like the best game for the beginning of the year at least. And then after all that, trust was built and everything. It's like, oh, by the way, can't play it unless this happens.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Unity thing too, when they did the
Unity thing. Yeah.
And. Mm-hmm. What else? I mean, yes, the Sonic thing. It's crazy. It's kind of like one of those things where, like, back without the internet, right? Back when we didn't really have a way to communicate. When these decisions were being made, they were just accepted, right? Because there's nothing that people can really do. Until the internet age came and more people were, like, forming communities, and now we can actually voice opinions back, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy to see how that's evolved over time. And also being, you know, surprising that, I mean, Sony going back on their decision is probably not so much them being great people, but more of like, oh, shoot, it's affecting our bottom line, you know?
Yep. Yeah, it definitely is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of funny because, like, probably a decade ago, it's the other way around where Xbox was the one where it's, like, very exclusive. And the PlayStation was more like friendly and more accommodating to like the community. Now it feels like the opposite.
Yeah, because Xbox was the one that wanted to have a direct internet connection every single time.
Yeah.
And then also for game sharing, it was like super complicated and stuff.
You couldn't really
share. And then Sony was the one that clapped back at them and was like, here's how you share a game, and then just hand it off to someone, like physically.
Yeah,
I don't know what happened, man. And
yeah.
It's crazy too, because they removed Helldivers 2 before the May 6th deadline from all those regions that could not create a PSN game or account, which is stupid because they already have the game. And it's like, well, what happens after that due date? Do they lose access to the game?
Yeah. It's kind of like, it's like NFT for games.
Yeah. Yeah.
You own it, but you don't really have it.
Well, NFT, you own it and you do own it.
Yeah.
But this is more of like, this is just more like digital access issues. Where that's like true. All the games that I bought on PSN for the PS Vita, PS Vita store is down. It's gone. So where are my games? Like, it's it's physically on my device, but if I needed to re-download them, I can't.
Yeah.
Same with all the PS3 games I bought, like, online, right? And PS4 games I bought online. Or like, that one game, the PT game, do you remember? The scary one, that Silent Hill?
It's a demo. Yeah.
Yeah, it got removed when they fired Kojima, and then those PlayStation 3s that had PT on it, physically, like, downloaded it, they were, like, fetching, like, a bunch of money on eBay, because there's no way to ever access that again, because it was removed from the store.
Yeah, that's so shady.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just goes back to the whole, like, digital access is really good. I mean, convenience-wise, yes, until you don't have access to the store anymore. So,
I think it was, like, in the video I sent you, like, with the whole situation, like, the CEO of the Airhead Games, the developers of Helldivers, knew about it too, right? Knew about the, let me see.
They knew the requirement 6 months before they even released Helldivers 2.
Yep.
Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
And they didn't tell people. They said they put it on the page, but, you know, people don't read.
So. Yeah.
And then they temporarily disabled it, which allowed people to buy it. Like, okay, if you knew about this and you temporarily disabled it, you knew you were taking money from people that would not have access to the game later.
Yeah. So, and I think it's I don't know what the intention of that is. You know, like on like the if I give them the benefit of a doubt, it's like the world can see what a great game it is, and then you build up that whole community, like in Helldivers that we have right now, and then they could fight back and just talk about it and something change. Or if it was just more of like, yeah, I don't know, it was just to take the money, you know, and then just whatever happens, they still profit. So I don't know, man. It's something that's just like, oh, well, it's kind of shady on both sides. It's a matter of like how you see it. I'm glad like everything got resolved in the way for the community where nothing bad happened, but it definitely put PlayStation as well as the Airhead Games company in a different light.
When you worked for you kind of indirectly worked for Sony, right? Like, you were under Sony but not really under Sony. You have experiences with like these kind of things, or was your team kind of like more focused on, you know, just the game stuff and that was it?
So my team was definitely more involved with the game stuff and developing itself. But after I left and everything, there was definitely a restructure of things for sure. I talked to some of my colleagues where it just says it wasn't anything similar to this in this sense, I think, because PlayStation was actually really, accommodating. And I think that we talked with, with Well Told, with Sam, and he had like contact with Sony people as well, and they seem to be accommodating for him and his team. So I don't know what happened, man.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you know, just hearing that they were accommodating to like Well Told and they were accommodating to the Fire Sprite side, it kind of tells me that the upper people are generally accommodating, but when they have a moneymaker, that's when bad decisions happen. Like Helldivers is like a big moneymaker.
But at the same time, it's kind of like it happened 6 months and before release, though. So it's no way to tell if it's going to be a hit or a flop.
Well, maybe they believed it was going to be a hit because people do that. Like
maybe like an investment sort of thing.
Yeah, like what's the game that's terrible? oh my gosh, from the people who brought Fallout. What was the Star? I can't remember.
Oh, Starfield.
Starfield. Yeah. I mean, everyone was expecting that to be like the best thing ever, right? So they probably invested a lot in the beginning.
Yeah,
and then it got released. And then we know what happened there. So yeah, I don't know. Was Helldivers considered to be not like a AAA, but like somewhere that it would be in that region or no?
In the second one or the first one?
The second one.
I believe so. I think I think it is. Yeah, it's definitely not considered like triple A by normal standard, I think, but it's definitely up there. And in terms of like quality, not quality in terms of like with the community and everything, the community and developers, it definitely seems to be on a higher end of things, like better than the normal AAA for sure.
Taking a little break here to talk to you guys about Zencastr. And on this podcast, we use Zencastr to record our podcast. What I love about Zencastr is it's a local recording that gets uploaded to the cloud so that each person recording gets their own high quality recording. So by the end of it, I get individual recordings from each person so that I can edit it together pretty easily. You basically go onto Zencastr, create a room, and then everyone joins, and then recording starts and ends, just as simple as that. It's also an all-in-one solution, so you can actually host and publish your podcast straight from Zencastr. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code NOTIMEFORTIMETRAVEL, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, if from the beginning, like, it was kind of, like, aimed to be almost AAA. I mean, Helldivers 2 is not AAA, like, in the traditional sense of, like, what you think a AAA is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, what made Sony make that decision? And, you know, like, I've also been reading that people were thinking it could be also Sony just really wanted data from the PC users, like, Steam data. So forcing them to link it will also get, like, Steam data for that and then be able to do more marketing and advertisement.
Yeah. I didn't understand that move at all, to be honest. Like, just in general, there was no... I didn't see like the reason to the madness, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, forcing them to have a PSN account means forcing them to have the option of a PlayStation store, which possibly gives them more access to an alternative place to buy games. So I don't know if that was the possible reason. It's a roundabout way of thinking.
It is, but I felt like if they were up and wanted to make money, they were like having all those alternatives is great, but when you force that option onto like and then removing that option from some of the countries that doesn't have access to this PSN account making thing, then it's like, well, you're losing money. You're not making money anymore. It's just closing off avenues of revenue.
Yeah, so maybe their marketing team just didn't even think about that. They're like, oh yeah, we have 177 countries we need to collect money from. So
yeah. But well, the big takeaway that I got from this is by making a fuss in the community, it actually affected change in the gaming industry, which is great because you rarely see that happen, right? A lot of times it's just like, oh, it's a broken game, it's typical, move on. And then like shady stuff happened, and then the CEO will say something, try to defend himself, and then the community will just be really mad, and then we all just be really mad, and then just lose our own money and whatever. But now we see like there's a actual change, which is very it's kind of nice. We're kind of refreshing to just experience, or like at least witness, because I didn't think we would ever reach that stage where like the community voice would reach the at least like the bigger companies like PlayStation, because like with indie games you're more likely to see it because they're getting small and they're very close with the community and they just want to get the games out, make a good game. With bigger companies it's a little bit harder or more political.
Yeah. Although it's nice to change, it also brings up that whole like, oh, we got to be careful about like what kind of things are being changed, you know? Because okay, well, sure, we can all complain and get things changed, but then do we really want to complain, get things changed all the time, you know?
Yeah. It's a very like a transitional stage at the minute, because the whole idea of making a noise and then getting the change that we want. And now it might just influence to be in the future where people complain all the time just to get the change, you know, and then it's like, well, it's a balance of what's good and what's not good. You know, there's a certain fine point but we'll see how it goes. It's definitely going to be a transition before we start building that or creating that line of saying, okay, this is too much. This is just not about a right sort of thing.
I can tell you from Mortal Kombat 11 that when it was first released, it was extremely hard to collect crystals to buy things. Mm-hmm. And you had to grind through the game like crazy. And everybody complained in the Mortal Kombat community. Mm-hmm. And then Warner Bros. Was like, oh, okay. They didn't change the mechanics, but then they gave us like hundreds of thousands of free crystals just to like start off. So, yeah. And then now with the new Mortal Kombat MK1, mm-hmm. the same grinding features have been pissing everybody off, but they didn't do anything to remedy that. although they did respond when people were complaining about buying fatalities, like the holiday fatalities. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, okay, sure. So it's not every holiday. Here, what you pay for that one holiday, we're going to give you three fatalities instead. So it's kind of like they're kind of listening, but not really fixing it. They're just more of like
Band-Aid solution.
Yeah, it's kind of like we're going to continue what we're doing, but here, this is to get you to ease into it better.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a weird balancing game between like the companies and the players.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too complicated with like the larger companies, or they make it really complicated at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Why can't everyone just be like No Man's Sky, just get free updates for life? I mean, that's kind of like,
go ahead.
Oh no. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, No Man's Sky is definitely one of like the exception to everything, because nobody expected developers to keep going for like years to come and then be as dedicated, which is very refreshing to hear from. A lot of times, like, game development is like very exhausting. When you're working on something for so long, it's kind of like you can think of it like a TV series, like One Piece or Dragon Ball, right? One creator making a lifetime of stories. And it's just like, oh, unless you're the developer is super passionate about it, that's so rare. It'll die, and most of the time just stop after one or two seasons, just get the idea across and then move on to the next story or something like that. Same thing with games.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, No Man's Sky was like, I remember when it got released, everyone was pissed off. Oh, yeah. And then they just went silent.
Yeah.
And they came back with like a big update.
Yep. And that was like 10 years ago, right?
I don't know, but they're prepping their next game. It was like Light No Fire or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how you build trust in the gaming community, which there's definitely a lack of.
Yeah, and I was just going to remind you, like, the thing I sent you, an image of, like, DLC, but then we've been doing this all our lives with, like, the various versions of Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But every single Street Fighter game has always had more than one version, except for the very first Street Fighter game, like Street Fighter 1. Since Street Fighter 2. Yeah. And then since Street Fighter 2, there's always been revised updates of the same game that gets released and is charged full price again.
Yeah.
So it's not even DLC at that point. You're paying full price for mostly the same game.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I appreciated more about Mortal Kombat. They only did that once with Mortal Kombat 3 and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3. Actually, twice, because they did that with Mortal Kombat Gold, which is 4. But then they never really did it again. Whereas, like, there's like, what, like 12 or 15 versions of Street Fighter 2?
Yeah, there were a lot of Street Fighter 2s. I remember back then, I was like, oh, I don't know what's what. Yeah. Sometimes the font was different. And then I was like, oh, is this a new game? And then I just had trust issues afterwards.
Or then you play those, like, those Chinese hack ones at the arcade.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Street Fighter 2, too long. It was like Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo Rainbow Edition or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Too Long, though, because then you could throw a fireball while you're in the air and it shoots 10 fireballs out. It was so weird.
It felt like those, it felt like a mod
of a original game. Yeah, it pretty much was. Like, I think when you did a Shoryuken with Ken, mm-hmm. when he did the Shoryuken from far away, 10 fireballs came out of his hand and homed in on the enemy.
That's like, really cool.
it's crazy. It was pretty crazy. So I don't know if you want to try that nowadays, but
no.
It was cool. All right. I guess that's our topic. I don't really know what the takeaway was. Complain, be heard, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. community reuniting or uniting, and then for making the big companies make change, I guess.
What's the term? What's the term for the big companies in the gaming industry? Like, you know, for pharmacy, right? Like, it's called big pharma. Is there like a analogous term in the gaming industry?
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Huh. Like, you know, non-independent, right? Like, is there like a term?
AAA studios? What? AAA studios?
I guess so, but that doesn't...
No, it's not the same thing. Like, I know what you mean, yeah. Big pharma of gaming industry.
I know, I'm looking for that too. Seeing if there's a term for that. Although there's a video game called Big Pharma.
Yeah,
I don't know, but yeah, that, I wonder if there's a term for that, or maybe there is, and it's super obvious. We're just not able to think about it right now.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. What should be game time? Is there anything for game time here? What can we do that's kind of similar or related to? Oh, let me check. Okay. I'm going to tell you some stuff and you tell me the answer. That is the most generic thing ever.
Tell me stuff. Okay.
Hold on. I'm trying to... Something happened to my monitor here. Give me a minute. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Man, what the heck just happened? My monitor just blacked out. Okay, here it is. Okay. So it's times when fans complain and the companies responded, all right? I'll describe it to you and you tell me what that thing is.
Okay.
I'll start off easy with something we already talked about. Fan backlash on the main character with ugly human teeth.
Ugly human teeth?
I mean, Sonic? That's part of the reason. What?
Was it a Sonic one?
Yeah, it was Sonic.
I didn't remember the teeth at all. There were so many other things.
Yeah, that was part of it. His okay. mouth was like, and it's funny. They actually did you watch Chip and Dale's movie yet? The new one?
No, I haven't. No, is it good?
It's good and really funny. And Ugly Sonic is in it.
Oh, I think I heard about that. Yeah.
Like they actually ended up using that model for good use in another movie.
So funny.
Yeah, poking fun at itself. Okay, how about when fans complain for many years that this superhero movie needed to get re-released as it was intended by the original director?
God, it's so superhero. There's so many. Okay, let me think.
And then they did get re-released on HBO Max as a 4-hour movie.
With Superman?
No, you're in the right universe, though.
Oh, let's see. HBO Max. God, so many DVDs of superheroes already. Okay, DC. I don't know if many DC. Okay, there's only Aquaman, but that was not 4 hours. There was Batman vs. Superman? Was that the one? Or like...
You're so close.
Dang it. Okay, there's...
Do you remember what was after Batman vs. Superman?
No. I just heard it just died off and then nobody talked about it anymore. Okay, let me see. DC. Okay. Does it involve... Well, I'm trying to see. Wait.
Does it involve Batman and Superman? Yes, it does.
Yeah, well, I mean, that doesn't help because I was thinking of... Justice League.
Yeah, it was Justice League.
Or was this? It's 4 hours?
The Zack Snyder's version was 4 hours.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so it was a recut to 4 hours because the original one, like, Zack Snyder had to leave midway because of a family issue.
Yeah.
And then Joss Whedon came in to complete it and then cut it down to like what Warner wanted was like 90 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
And the movie was like so bad. Like, you could tell like halfway through the movie changed. You could tell when it was like comedy and when it was serious. So, and it was so cut, like, badly, you had no idea who the characters are and stuff. So the 4-hour cut was broken down into like a couple of chapters, so you could watch it by chapter because it's on streaming, and each chapter kind of focused in on certain things. So it felt more like a mini series, and it worked a lot better.
That sounds horrible.
Yep. Let's see. How about, this is a prequel series in which they introduced a CGI character in the first one, and then they severely limited him in the second and third one because everyone hated him so much.
Because everyone what so much?
Hated him? This is sci-fi prequel series.
Sci-fi prequel series. Oh, God.
I think if I give you another clue, you might get it. Maybe.
Okay.
The CGI character's mocap was Ahmet Best, the actor Ahmet Best. Prequel series. Remember, sci-fi prequel. Another thing is, I think it was like the early mocap stage. Like, this is really early when mocap was still new.
Oh. Reboot? No, that's not a prequel at all. It's a movie. Sci-fi movie characters.
All right, here's another hint. The character was introduced in episode 1. Everyone hated him, so he was severely reduced for episode 2 and 3.
Oh, was it Jar Jar?
Yes, it was Jar Jar. Oh. Yes.
It was that bad, huh?
Oh, yeah. Everyone hated him.
I didn't know that at all.
Yep. Let me see. There was another... Okay, hold on. This was a Michael Bay movie series based on comic book characters. And originally they were going to be an alien race, and fans complained so much that they're like, no, they're not aliens. We never meant to do that.
Hmm.
And then made them back into just
how they were supposed to. Turtle.
Oh yeah. How'd you know that?
Cause I was like, I thought it was like Transformers first. Like, no, they still stayed alien.
Oh yes.
And I was like, okay, the only other one that I know is that one.
Yeah. Okay. How about this one? This movie was originally going to be a big budget superhero movie starring Jack Black in the lead, in which his powers was he can create things with his mind through his powers. But instead, they dropped that from the complaints, and then they hired Ryan Reynolds instead.
Oh, Green Lantern?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. I didn't know. That would have been a completely different movie.
I know, right? Can you imagine Jack Black being the Green Lantern? I mean, it would be very funny.
Yeah.
It would be just... I don't know. It'll be Kung Fu Panda and Green Lantern. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it seriously for sure.
Yeah,
it doesn't give off the Series 5 as, well, even Ryan Reynolds doesn't have a Series 5, but still.
I mean, the movie ended up being funny anyway because it was so bad.
Yeah.
Let me see. Oh, this one's pretty interesting. So in this movie, the main villain, William Fichtner from Prison Break, he's an FBI guy, and he's an actor who played an FBI guy in Prison Break. He's like a white guy, right? Mm-hmm. He was originally hired to play this supervillain in this movie about comic book characters, and so much complaints came from like whitewashing the character. So they, in the middle of production, they were like, okay, fine. Then they switched and hired a Japanese-American actor to bring authenticity to the main villain.
Let's see. I think Dragon Ball?
No, Dragon Ball was still a white person.
Yeah, I was hoping he was like a side character that became a.
It's a movie that we already talked about that was already on this list.
That's on the list. Okay.
Repeated answer.
It's not Avatar. Oh, it's a repeated answer. Okay, gotcha. Oh. I think the whole Jack Black just like made my whole brain go blank. I was like, oh man, I can't think of anything else.
It's just funny because the Jack Black thing, he was going to play Hal Jordan because Hal Jordan is a Green Lantern.
Yeah.
And then Jack Black also has a movie called Shallow Hal where he played.
Right? So, crossover. That would be so good.
It's like Green Lantern, Shallow Hal Jordan.
Wait. Okay, trying to think.
What can I give you as a hint?
It's not Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, it is Ninja Turtles, actually.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yes. Yes, they were going to cast a white guy as Shredder.
Oh.
Yes.
I mean, he could be white. No one knew. I mean, yeah, they sort of knew.
I mean, even if they did cast him, he's a very good actor and he's really menacing. Mm-hmm. So there is a chance that he could have done it okay.
Yeah.
So I think that's the end of the list. There's also this other list that were times when fans were wrong. I'm wondering if like there's anything on here that's like interesting. No, it's just a discussion. Yeah. Okay. I think that's everything.
Cool. Sounds good, man.
Cool. All right. Do you have anything to promote?
No.
Okay. Me neither. Okay. Cool. All right. No time for time travel. Signing off. Heard your own worst beat. See ya.
Bye. I love
the power glove. Come with me if you want to live. I love the power glove. No time for time travel.